welcome to Her Money Revolution. I'm your host, Angela Brooks, your guide on this journey to becoming a wealthy woman. As a certified financial planner, owner, and advisor at Family Capital Management, I'm on a mission to simplify the conversation around investing and to help women generate more wealth by making their money work for them. Join me as we navigate powerful financial planning strategies to help you achieve your personal and professional goals. This podcast is your go-to destination for no fluff, easy to implement financial and investing advice. If you are ready to achieve audacious financial goals, dream beyond boundaries, and generate massive wealth for you and your family, this podcast is for you. Grab a notebook, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Her Money Revolution, the podcast where we empower women to grow their wealth by making their money work for them. I'm your host, Angela Brooks, and today we're diving into the world of bull and bear markets, terms that you've probably heard before, but might not fully understand. What do they mean? How do they affect your investments? And most importantly, how should you navigate them? If you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get started. Let's start with the bull market. By definition, a bull market is when the market rises by 20% or more over a relatively short period of time. But beyond that technical definition, a bull market is characterized by optimism and enthusiasm. Stocks are going up, investors are excited, and opportunities seem endless, right? Everyone's feeling great. It's a time when most stocks tend to rise and everyone wants to join in on the action. Think of it as the market charging ahead like a bull. That's one of the reasons they call it a bull, right? The market is charging ahead like a bull, or bulls have horns and it's going up. So the market is going up. Now let's flip the script. A bear market is just the opposite. It's a market that falls by 20% or more over a short period of time. In a bear market, pessimism takes over. Stock prices drop. Fear dominates. Investors tend to pull back. It's a period of uncertainty, and much like a bear retreating into hibernation, many people avoid taking risks during this time. Another reason they call it a bear market is because when you think of the animal of a bear, when they attack, they go down. They put their hooves in the ground and their nose is down. And so when we're in a bear market, we're declining, right? We're going down. The primary difference between these two markets is the overall direction of stock prices. In a bull market, prices are climbing, opportunities are abound. In a bear market, prices are falling and caution reigns. Everyone's worried. They're watching the news. They can't believe what they're hearing. It's all doom and gloom. But here's the key. Both bull and bear markets are natural parts of the economic cycle. Neither of them are going to last forever. They often follow one another as the economy ebbs and flows. And I said that. I say ebbs and flows. If I could count how many times I've said ebbs and flows since I've been in this industry, it's crazy. But when I'm recording this, as of today, you're listening to this, is it going to be July? But as of right now, when I'm recording this, the S&P 500 is almost down 10% year to date. The NASDAQ is down about 15% year to date. There is a lot of uncertainty right now. And one of the most common questions I hear, more often from my friends or my family or even acquaintances, more from them than my own clients, but it's, should I change my investment strategy? My clients are rarely asking this anymore. And here's why. Because we have spent time educating, preparing, and planning together. They know that we've built a strategy that's designed to weather these ups and downs. But sometimes people still ask, my clients will still ask, and that's fine. It's not out of panic. It's maybe just to have a little reinsurance, which is completely fine, right? That's exactly why I'm here as their wealth advisors, to help them cut through that noise. My role is to separate data from narrative, policy from personality, and to bring critical thinking and clarity back into the decisions that we're making. So if you're my client, keep asking me. I'm totally fine with that. It's my job, but I err in, it's my passion. But it's typically a question that I'm not getting from all of my clients, right? But should you change your investment strategy? No. The short answer is no. One of the advantages of being an investor is that you don't need to react to every market fluctuation. You're not a mutual fund manager, right? You're an individual investor. We don't need to react to that. Whether you're in a bull or a bear market, the best strategy is often to stick to your plan, your current plan. Consistently investing over time is a really great strategy, the dollar cost averaging. This is going to help smooth out those ups and those downs. So, if, you know, right now the market's really uncertain. I keep saying it's a great buying opportunity. Obviously, if you're taking income, that's a different story for you, but the dollar cost averaging strategy, it allows you to buy more shares when prices are low and fewer shares when prices are high, right? So you reduce the impact of that market volatility. So I love the dollar cost averaging strategy. And now is a great time to get some money into the market. But now listen, if you're not working with a trusted advisor, if you don't have a comprehensive financial plan in place, if you're not feeling sure and secure about where you are, and you're in what we call the fragile decade. You haven't heard that term before. It's the 5 years before retirement and the 5 years after retirement. My industry calls that the fragile decade. Then let this be your wake-up call, okay? This is when financial decisions matter most. The cost of mistakes are so high when you're in the fragile decade. So yes, maybe you do need to change your investment strategy. So I'm not talking to everybody here, but we don't want to do that out of fear, but with thorough intention, informed planning, something that's going to be sure that's aligned with your goals and your timeline and whatever income needs that you may have, okay? So don't just stay the course and it's okay. If you're pulling income or if you're in that fragile decade, you want to make sure you're invested for the proper trend that we're in, right? Whether it's a bull market or a bear market. Because here's the reality. When markets decline and you're making withdrawals or you're taking out of your portfolio to fund your lifestyle, you're not just taking money out, you're locking in losses. So each withdrawal after a loss is creating a permanent loss, okay? That's a permanent loss in your portfolio. Now, you're not only trying to recover from the market downturn itself, but also from that compounded impact of those withdrawals. Wall Street calls this feeding the bear. If you just do the simple math, you know, if your portfolio drops by 20%, it doesn't just need a 20% gain to recover. It needs a 25% gain to return just back to even. So that's why having a well-structured, proactive strategy in place is critical, okay? Especially if you are in that fragile decade. You don't have time to recover. You don't have 10 years to let the market do what it does and to manage the ebbs and the flows, okay? But I digress on that point. So a bull and a bear market, they don't happen in isolation. They're influenced by economic conditions, by you, by investor sentiment, how are we feeling, and other external events. So let me give you an example, okay? So if you're a bull market is going to be fueled by strong economic growth. So that's GDP rising, that's going to be low unemployment. Bull markets are fueled by low interest rates. So when it's easy to borrow, more consumer business spending is in the low interest rate environment. Higher consumer or investor confidence. You know, everyone's feeling good. We're buying more. There's less fear. People aren't watching the news as much. They're actually enjoying their family and talking about goals and life and fun things, not about, oh my gosh, can you believe what the president said today? All the crap noise. Bull markets are often fueled by when money is cheap to borrow, or optimism drives financial assets higher. Corporate earnings are growing. Companies are making more money. Maybe even government stimulus, you know, the fiscal or monetary policies support. And then also momentum. So rising prices attract more investors. This creates a feedback loop, right? Those are things that fuel bull markets. We often look as investment advisors is to look at some indicators, you know, so what are some indicators that we can say, okay, maybe we're headed towards a bull market or we're in a bull market. Those indicators are positive news cycles or higher consumer spending, expansion in the housing and manufacturing, tech innovation or productivity gains, good earnings reports. Those are good indicators that we're in a bull market. On the flip side, for bear market, those are going to be typically triggered by the exact opposite of everything I just said, right? Slowing economic growth or recession. So rising unemployment, shrinking GDP, a rising interest rate environment typically triggers a bear market. Geopolitical uncertainty, wars, elections, pandemics, feels like we've been through a lot of that lately. Central banks might raise rates to control inflation, which slows the economy and then impacts corporate earnings, decline in corporate profits, right? Loss of investor confidence. There's more fear. There's panic. What should I do? I'm going to get out. Move me to cash. So that panic selling, overvaluation corrections, you know, that's just simple, like prices fall back to fair value. So some indicators or signals of a bear market, negative earnings reports, kind of a big deal, tightening monetary policy, Fed rate hikes, the inverted yield curves, that's a recession signal, or weaker consumer confidence. Everyone's watching the news and feeling afraid of everything. Those are good signals of a bear market. And there's a whole other factor that I haven't even touched on, actually. And honestly, well, this could be an entire episode on its own, but population trends is a big factor in what drives stock prices. I'll keep it short and to the point because I will probably just do another episode on this. But population trends absolutely impact stock prices, maybe more than a lot of other things that I've talked through about. And not necessarily or not really in the day-to-day fluctuations, but indirectly in the significantly like long-term. Let me break it down quickly. If you just think about this, right? So if we think first, okay, consumer demand, more people in the economy, more population means more consumption. That increased demand drives corporate revenues, earnings growth, which then over time pushes stock prices up. Right? Stock prices are going to go higher. More people are living. There are more people are buying homes or buying food. They're buying those Apple products. They're buying clothes. That's a big deal for business and for stock market trends, right? More people buying Apple phones. Well, Apple stock is going to go up. A second thing to think about with population is demographics and then the life stage of spending. And this is kind of a big deal. It's not just about how many people there are, it's about who those people are. And if we think about the population, the United States population, maybe younger individuals in their 20s or 40s, that would be me, we typically spend more, right? We're buying houses, we're starting families, we're traveling, investing, we're saving into our 401k or other retirement vehicles, we're buying boats and investing in our futures. All of that spending supports an economic growth and then drives stock market prices up. On the other hand, an older population, and I want to be careful about this number too, because older, we could say 60, but that's not really fair because 60 people are still working. 65-year-olds, you know, if they're retiring, they're now accessing their 401ks and they're spending as well. They're buying their forever homes. They're taking that vacation that they've waited to take till they could retire. So I don't know. I'm just talking. I don't have statistics in front of me, but maybe that older population, we should say 70 or older, and maybe 60. Doesn't matter. But the point here is that they're often more focused on saving and withdrawing income, right? They're not on a growth stock portfolio. They're looking for fixed income strategies. That can slow the economic growth, and that will shift the market demand toward income generating assets. Buffered ETF, structured notes that are protecting on the downside, bonds, dividend paying stocks, okay? Or maybe they're 60 and they're in that fragile decade. But another thought here with population is that declining populations, this is a real headwind for some countries like Japan or even parts of Europe, for example. Shrinking populations mean fewer consumers, lower demand, and ultimately slower business growth. That can lead to long-term stock market returns in those regions, right? Or lower long-term stock market returns. So the bottom line, population growth and demographic don't move stock prices in the short term, but they absolutely shape the economic environment that these companies are operating in. And that has a direct impact on long-term market performance. Okay. Now, I know I talk about declining populations and that's a headwind for countries like Japan. But if we think about the U.S. population, as of 2025, I think it's projected to continue growing, but at a significantly lower pace than in previous decades. And I'm going to digress here. I could go a lot into that. Actually, my business partner has a really great webinar on this topic, but this is for a different episode. But U.S. population, I'll let it go there. Stay tuned. I'll follow back up with you on episode for that because I want to get back to the bull and bear markets. I want to give you a few practical tips to navigate these markets, okay? Number one, regardless of the market we're in, if it's a bull market or a bear market, your goal should be to stay focused on your goals, okay? Your long-term financial objectives are more important than the short-term market trends. Don't let fear or greed derail your plan, okay? Unless you're a stockbroker and you pick stocks and you're watching every day, don't try to pick stocks. Don't try to beat the market. It doesn't work, okay? It just doesn't. Number two, diversify your portfolio. A well-diversified portfolio will help you reduce risk and provide stability during volatile times. It's not cliche. It's a reality. I've said well-diversified portfolio will help you during unstable times, and it just does, okay? Number three, keep an emergency fund. Having liquid cash on hand ensures that you won't need to sell your investments. I like to say, I don't ever want my clients to be a forced seller at a loss, right? During a bear market. People say, I lost everything in 2008. Well, you were probably a forced seller. You were taking money out and you sold without having a solid plan. Number four, avoid timing the market. It's nearly impossible to predict when a bull or a bear market will start or end. Instead, focus on consistent, disciplined investing. I was talking with my business partner the other day about the market and forecasting what we thought was going to happen. And I said, you know, most corrections do not lead to bear markets, but all bear markets start with a correction. If you think about that, okay? He looked at me and he's like, you're saying a lot of words without actually saying anything at all. And I'm like, I know, right? Like, we can't time the market. We believe the market may go up unless it goes down, right? I mean, unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball. So avoid timing the markets. Even the most sophisticated investors and the most sophisticated people can't time the market. Now, with that, I would say number five, partner with a trusted certified financial planner. Work with a wealth advisor that can help you confidently navigate today's complex markets. I can't time the market. I can't predict what I think is going to happen. It might go up, it might go down, but we have really great tools to help us navigate the uncertainty and help us navigate where we think those trends are headed. So my final thoughts, I have a lot right now, but my final thoughts on a bull and bear market, they are two sides of the same coin. They're inevitable, and they both play a role in the journey of building wealth. The key is to really understand what they mean. You want to manage your emotions, and you got to stick to a strategy that is truly aligned with your financial goals. Because remember, so the market is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Success comes in life, really, like with anything that we're talking about, with patience and persistence and perspective. That's a big one. Bull and bear markets are both normal parts of the investment cycle. The key is to plan for both. And when you have a plan, then hopefully you won't react emotionally. And when you have that well-diversified long-term strategy, it's going to be built to weather the ebbs and the flows. Yes, there it is again. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Her Money Revolution. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, share it, leave a review. I would love to hear some feedback from you. And if you know anyone that is navigating this investment journey, share my podcast with them to help them out. Check out the show notes for additional resources on investing. And in the meantime, keep believing in your financial plan. Be blessed, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you are feeling more empowered in your financial journey. Remember, follow and subscribe to Her Money Revolution on your favorite podcast platform and share your feedback by leaving a review. I'd love to hear your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Until next time, stay inspired.